From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri customers since 1982, offering testing and solutions for mold, lead, and asbestos problems. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com.
It's 84 degrees in Lawrence, 80 in Manhattan. The time is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online, streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from 715 Restaurant at 715 Massachusetts Street in downtown Lawrence, offering heated patio seating Tuesday through Saturday from 3 p.m. till late. More information at 715mass.com.
Thanks for tuning in to KPR, closing in on 6:30 when we will have an update of news headlines. This is funding appeal free radio. Well, not totally free. I'm going to tell you where you can make a contribution. But you're going to hear all things considered for this hour. Coming up in the next 30 minutes, a conversation with Jane Fonda about relaunching the Committee for the First Amendment, an organization her father was very active with back in the McCarthy era. We'll learn about the open letter being sent to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs from hundreds of current and former VA clinicians, warning that cuts and increased privatization are threatening the VA healthcare system. And we will continue with our mini-series called Here to Help. We will learn about volunteering in the state of Maine. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas City Monarchs, presenting the return of the KC Blues and Jazz Festival, October 3rd and 4th at Legends Field, featuring Stanley Clark and more. Event details at monarchsbaseball.com.
Stay tuned. Following All Things Considered this evening on your KPR One stations, we have evening classical music with Destiny celebrating the beginning of October. Get you some spooky tunes to get you in that October fall type mode. If you're joining us on KPR 2, up next we have the Moth Radio Hour. It's 84 degrees in Lawrence. It is 6:20.
NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is what you will hear with the latest national, international, and regional news. Jay Schaefer will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
Quick reminder, you can still make your pledge of support to this public radio station at kansaspublicradio.org. It's 6:30.
Gaza from the Mediterranean Sea and deported the activists on board. Emily Fang, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
On Wall Street, stocks finished higher across the board. This is NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. General Motors is placing 900 workers on indefinite layoff at its Fairfax assembly plant in Kansas City, Kansas. That's according to company officials who spoke to the Detroit Free Press today. GM says it needs to retool the plant for production of the gas-powered Equinox. Those employees were placed on temporary layoff in early September. Kansas Senator Jerry Moran addressed the Senate last night as two proposals to fund the federal government, one backed by Republicans and another by Democrats, failed to find the necessary support. That led to a government shutdown this morning.
Office in my state passes a budget and then lives within that budget every year. Every local unit of government at home can figure this out. And the United States Senate is failing one more time.
Moran and Kansas Senator Roger Marshall both voted in support of the Republican push for a resolution to temporarily fund the government until late November. Both senators voted against a proposal to extend current health care subsidies and fund the government through October. Enrollment numbers have increased at the University of Kansas. For the second straight year, KU has achieved its highest overall enrollment in history, according to annual data released by the Kansas Board of Regents. KU's enrollment grew 1.3% to 31,169 students. Two University of Kansas professors are urging teachers to learn more about artificial intelligence before using AI tools in the classroom. Sean Camperman and Katie Conrad held the first AI and Digital Literacy Institute for Kansas City area teachers last year. Now they're developing a guide for educators devoted to the topic. Conrad says many AI companies claim the technology helps students complete tasks quickly and easily, but she says that's not always ideal. Deal in education.
In order to learn something, you need to have productive struggle. You need to engage. Our brains don't take things in unless we have to make a bit of an effort to make that happen.
The KU Project isn't totally opposed to using AI in classrooms, but warns that educators need to be aware of its limitations. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR comes from News.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. We've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune into Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow. Join us for Morning Edition here on your KPR stations. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Lots of other frequencies in many other towns as well, thanks to the contributions of listeners just like you. You can listen online or become a member of KPR anytime at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers. More than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com.
Still another 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations at 7 o'clock, we will have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny kicking off your October. That is all followed by Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR Two, up next is the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, presenting Tina, the Tina Turner musical, an uplifting comeback story like no other, Tuesday, October 14th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu.
Mostly clear skies this evening, lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, another warm one, sunshine, highs in the upper 80s. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Thank you for listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from RBC Wealth Management, dedicated to providing financial strategies to help navigate wealth planning and legacy building. More at rbcwealthmanagement.com. From the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. From Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, which monitors safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate. At Progressive.com, not available in California or from all agents. And from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at Skoll.org.
You might hear some people you agree with on Morning Edition and some you don't. That's the point. Different views for a full picture of the news. Listen weekdays from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City, 91.3. KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Panda Pediatrics, providing pediatric primary care, mental health, dental, and a walk-in clinic for children from birth to age 21 at 1 Lawrence location. More information at pandapeds.com.
Stay tuned. Up next, we have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then two hours of classical music with Destiny, kicking off your October with some spooky music and some not-so-spooky music. It's all followed by Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market, with over 70 small businesses and farmers bringing produce, meats, and more from vendors within 50 miles of Lawrence. Saturday mornings, 824 New Hampshire, rain or shine.
You can always make a pledge of support online to Kansas Public Radio at kansaspublicradio.org. Still taking your pledges through the overnight hours. As I said, it's very simple. Just visit kansaspublicradio.org and help support your public radio station in the era of no federal funding.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Vice President J.D. Vance came to the White House press briefing today to make the Republican case for ending the government shutdown. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, most Democrats are withholding votes on funding legislation to negotiate an extension in tax credits to help make health insurance more affordable.
Both sides are trying to convince the public that the other party is to blame for the shutdown. And Vice President Vance used the briefing to repeatedly blame Senate Democrats.
They're trying to take a hostage, and we're not going to let them.
On the issue of health care, he says that's not a conversation for right now.
We think that we can open the government and then have the conversation about what best health care policy to fit the needs of the American people. That's all we're trying to do. That's all we're trying to accomplish. We've got to reopen the government first.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says Democrats are willing to sit down with anyone, anywhere to negotiate. But that's not happening. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
Thousands of misconduct cases filed against the federal prison employees have been left unresolved for years. That's according to a report released this week from the Government Accountability Office. As NPR's Meg Anderson reports, that backlog of cases can have consequences for other aspects of prison life.
According to the GAO, the Federal Bureau of Prisons has more than 12,000 employee misconduct cases waiting to be looked into. About one-third of those cases have been open for 3 or more years. That matters because if a guard is being investigated, they're often pulled off their rounds while the case is open. That's according to Greta Goodwin, who directs the GAO's Homeland Security and Justice Team.
That does not help BOP staffing challenges because that's one less guard who is available to do the work that needs to be done at BOP.
Goodwin says that can affect things like employee well-being and programming and health care for prisoners. Meg Anderson, NPR News.
A federal judge says the Trump administration must continue to provide millions of dollars in disaster funds to states. NPR's Rebecca Hersher reports the affected states are all currently run by Democrats.
The funds in question come from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. They total about $233 million and are used to train and pay salaries for local first responders, among other things. The money is supposed to go to 11 states, including California, New York, and Illinois, as well as Washington, D.C. The Trump administration is trying to block those states from receiving the funds in what Democrats say is an attempt to punish jurisdictions for not cooperating with immigration enforcement efforts. The states sued to retain the funding. Now, a judge says the money must continue to flow while the lawsuit moves through the courts. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
Stocks rose to more record highs today. The S&P 500 climbed 0.3% to top its prior all-time high, which was set last week. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Visit St. Pete Clearwater, Florida, where visitors can unwind on white sand beaches and dine at restaurants. More at visitspc.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 1st. The constellations are well armed. Several of the star patterns that depict people or gods are carrying weapons, and some of them are in good view at this time of year. As darkness falls, look low in the west for the brilliant star Arcturus. It stands at the base of Bootes, the herdsman. Like many of the ancient star figures, Bootes has different stories and is drawn in different ways. In most depictions, he's holding something long and straight against his right side. In some cases, it's a staff, but in others, it's a spear. While above Bootes is Hercules, marked by a lopsided box of four stars. He's wrestling the multi-headed Hydra, and in some depictions, he's holding up a club. In the south, look for Sagittarius. To modern eyes, it forms the outline of a teapot, but to the ancients, those stars formed an archer. The star at the outer edge of the spout is the point where he's gripping both bow and arrow. And low in the northeast, there's a figure with a unique weapon. Perseus the hero is holding the head of Medusa. In mythology, anyone looking at Medusa was turned to stone. Perseus managed to sever the head, then used it to save the princess Andromeda from a monster. And if you're stargazing before dawn, there's another armed figure, well up in the south, Orion the Hunter. He has two weapons. He's holding a club in an upraised arm, with a sword strapped to his belt, a heavily armed figure in the stars. For the University of Texas at Austin MacDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
It's October 1st, and you know what that means. Time for the spooky music here on Kansas Public Radio. Hi there, I'm Destiny, and I'm sure many of you could recognize Johann Sebastian Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor. E. Power Biggs at the organ. That music is just incredible. Hooray. Well, I am in the fall Halloween spirit already, so we're going to listen to A Night on Bald Mountain in about 5 minutes. We are indeed. I know it's not Halloween yet, but I do enjoy the month of October for all of the spooky music. And actually, speaking of that, did you know that, what is it? Friday night, October 24th. Yes. Ooh, it's coming up. I have 24 days left to practice. At 7 p.m., yours truly, me, Destiny, I will be playing at the Lawrence Public Library, playing my violin. Yes, in a spooky concert with spooky tunes and, ooh, a big surprise that I have never played before. I'm very excited to share it with you. Anyways, I could yammer on and on about it. It is free, but we do want you to RSVP at kansaspublicradio.org because, well, seating can be rather limited. How about an October Autumn Song by Tchaikovsky from The Seasons, right now on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Well, that certainly sounded nice and depressing for the month of October. Tchaikovsky's Autumn Song here on KPR. October by the Premier Trio Moscow. Indeed, dramatic. Barber is dramatic. The cello is dramatic. You could hear the cello indeed. Did you know that Barber wrote a cello concerto? He did. We're going to listen to it in about 10 minutes. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or 785-843-TREE. 72%, by the way, of NPR listeners value public radio as an important community service. Support your community and promote your business by sponsoring KPR. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org. You see what I just read before that was someone who sponsors Kansas Public Radio, and we need your help now, I keep saying, more than ever, to keep the music on the airwaves. And I know this is a favorite of many of you. I've got the Cleveland Orchestra playing Modest Mussorgsky's Night on Bald Mountain here on KPR. Thank you. Ooh, I love that one. Mussorgsky's Night on Bald Mountain here on Kansas Public Radio with the Cleveland Orchestra. Are you in the Halloween spirit yet? Well, you've got 30 more days. Whew, dramatic. Dramatic seems to be the theme for this hour this evening. And I have something else dramatic coming up for you. Yo-Yo Ma, the great cellist, is playing Barber's Cello Concerto. And this recording is with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. I used to play with them. And David Zinman. And speaking of me, wow, way to make it about myself. I'm a violinist, and I know that sometimes I pick a lot of violin music, but I thought I would pick the cello for you tonight to spread the love amongst the other string instruments. So let's enjoy it right now together on Kansas Public Radio, Barber's Cello Concerto with Yo-Yo Ma.
Thank you. Thank you. Samuel Barber's Cello Concerto here on KPR with Yo-Yo Ma on cello, David Zinman, and the Baltimore Symphony. I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me this hour. I'm back next hour with more music. And by the way, I haven't told you yet, if you're new to the program, how to make a request for something. Yes, I have this fun Saturday show from 1 to 4 called Classics by Request, and you get to help me pick the playlist. So go to kansaspublicradio.org/classicsbyrequest. It'll take you to a form there. You can fill it out and tell me what you'd like to hear, or tell me something that you would like to hear, but maybe you don't know the name of it, but you know the mood or emotion that it evokes. All right, I'm back next hour. Don't go anywhere on KPR.
Hey, it's Layla Fadel. Whether it's a roadside stop in Missouri,
they have like signs and billboards. It says a very big halal, you know, so
or in a forest searching for brook trout.
It's just cool. Cool to see them persist and knowing they've been here for so long, and they still find a way to make it.
Morning Edition from NPR News is always where the story is. Come along with us every weekday morning.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. When your old car or truck is no longer your favorite place to listen to us here on KPR, consider donating it, indeed, to us. Learn about our Vehicles for Charity program at kansaspublicradio.org. It's fun and easy. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to be smart and play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center, presenting Mariachi Garibaldi and Ballet Folklorico del Rio Grande October 10th at 7:30 p.m. Details at jccc.edu/mtc.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The government shutdown standoff continues, with the White House threatening to permanently fire thousands of workers. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
The president has said that a lot of good can come from shutdowns. He says he may use this shutdown, which he blames on Democrats, as an excuse to take, quote, irreversible actions, such as cutting programs Democrats like and trimming the budget to a level he couldn't do any other way. In past shutdowns, government workers have been furloughed, but then returned to work after the government reopens. This time, the White House is talking about permanent layoffs. Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says no final decision about permanent layoffs has been made, but that, quote, we have to put a plan in place. Mara Liasson, NPR News, the White House.
The government shutdown is already having an impact on the real estate industry, especially in Florida, in states where many lenders require homeowners to have flood insurance. NPR's Greg Allen reports the National Flood Insurance Program has stopped issuing new policies.
More than 4.5 million homes in the U.S. are covered under the Federal Flood Insurance Program, with the largest number of them in Florida, Louisiana, and Texas. The program's authorization lapsed with the government's shutdown, which means no new or revised policies can be issued. Tim Weishire, the president of the Florida Association of Realtors, says it's already holding up sales.
People that are right now maybe were planning to close on their property tomorrow or next week, they will be delayed, and there's a risk that they're delayed. And in truth, it can have a ripple effect across the country.
In the spring of 2010, when Congress allowed the program's authorization to lapse, the National Association of Realtors says it affected some 1,400 home sales every day. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
The Trump administration says it's halting billions of dollars in federal funding for transit projects in New York City over the state's diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, which it calls unconstitutional. From member station WNYC, Stephen Nesson reports.
New York State requires a percentage of the work on large projects go to minority and women-owned businesses. It's a practice used in states across the country that the Trump administration has assailed. Posting on X, Office of Management and Budget Director Russell Vogt says the administration is halting $18 billion in funding that was earmarked for New York's 2nd Avenue subway extension into East Harlem and the Hudson River train tunnels being built as part of the Gateway Program. Both of those projects were awarded funds under the Biden administration, and work is underway. The announcement comes the same day the federal government shut down after New York's Democratic leaders, Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, refused to pass a new funding agreement. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Nesson in New York.
In the Philippines, rescuers are using backhoes and dogs to look for survivors in collapsed buildings after a magnitude 6.9 earthquake killed at least 72 people. The death toll is expected to rise. From Washington, you're listening to NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Wallace Foundation, an independent nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
From Nigeria to the University of Kansas, Azeem Talabi, a graduate researcher, is breaking through chemo resistance in cancer cells.
Hello, my name is Azim Talabi. I am a PhD student in the Molecular Biosciences Department here at KU. I am currently working in Dr. Christine Yeung-Pugh's lab, and my project involves investigating the molecular mechanisms influencing resistance in treating colorectal cancer.
So you're researching treatments for patients that have a resistance to traditional chemotherapies.
Yeah, exactly. The gene I study is called Adenomatous Polyposis Coli, or APC, and it's responsible for initiating about 80% of colorectal cancer cases. The thing is, these colorectal cancers are particularly non-sensitive to chemotherapeutic drugs, so I'm trying to investigate the molecular mechanisms, that is, why and how.
With the APC gene mutated or missing, patients are less responsive to traditional chemotherapy drugs. How does your research attack this problem?
To overcome this resistance, I basically try to understand the dysfunctional pathways responsible for the resistance in the first place. And after this, I try using different combination of different drugs to see if I can restore the sensitivity.
Is this research into new combination therapies producing any results?
So far, the outcomes have been very promising, and I hope to further explore this to see how I can make it better.
What brought you to the University of Kansas?
I'm particularly at the University of Kansas because of its research and academic activities, and also trying to be part of the forefront research in cancer biology.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Thank you.
Academic Festival Overture here on KPR with Claudio Abbado and the Berlin Phil. Hi, I'm Destiny. This is Evening Classical, and well, if you've noticed lately on Wednesdays at the 8 p.m. hour top, we have Research Matters. And I thought, research, academia. I think I'll play the Academic Festival Overture. You know, kids, though, have to deal with report cards. So I have a sneaky little thing about report cards coming up, too. Hi, I'm Destiny, and I am so glad you are here with me. This is Evening Classical on Kansas Public Radio. We are 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, lots and lots of other great frequencies. And I love picking out music for you. And tonight, I thought we would listen to next Tchaikovsky's Souvenir de Florence. It is, well, dramatic, and it speaks for itself, and it just starts so, I don't even know how to describe it, but it really grips you. So let's dive into this one together. It is the orchestral version with the great Concertgebouw Orchestra. They are good. Here we go on Kansas Public Radio. ¶¶
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The Concertgebouw Orchestra playing Tchaikovsky's Souvenir de Florence. Originally a sextet, but boy, it is great with the whole orchestra, isn't it? Kansas Public Radio has some pretty great recordings. I hope you liked it. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, promoting Field Day Feast, a farm-to-table dining experience featuring Chef Vaughn Good of Fox and Pearl at Kaw Valley Field Day, October 11th. Tickets and details at kawvalleyfieldday.com. Did you know that KPR listeners are engaged in their communities, and that's why we love you? And they frequent businesses that sponsor and support public radio. You could become a KPR sponsor and reach those most likely to take action. It truly works. Go to sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org. And if you've been listening during the day, we have been fundraising. It is our annual fall fundraising drive. And gosh, we are so appreciative of all the help you listeners have been giving us, sending in and calling in. And please keep it coming, because now, I mean, I used to say that 84% of our operating budget was from listeners only, and that was a huge amount. But now we're at 94%, so we really, really rely on you. Anything you can give us would be so helpful. And if you're a regular listener, you know my humor is sometimes really, I don't even know what the word is for it. But on Wednesdays, we have Research Matters in the 8 p.m. hour, so I thought, the academic festival would be good for academia. Well, now I'm thinking of those poor kids in high school and middle school that have to get report cards. Oof. So on behalf of those poor students, let's listen to Donald Bender's Report Card Blues right now on KPR.
Thank you.
That is a fun one. Donald Bender's Report Card Blues. Anton Kushkin on the flute and Donald Bender himself on oboe. Gary Kessler on the guitar. For all of you students out there that have to deal with report cards. Ooh. Hi, I'm Destiny. This is Kansas Public Radio. I am so glad that you have spent your evening here with me. Tomorrow is Tango Thursday, so I am thinking about what tango to pick out for you. And I am also planning Saturday's playlist, and I need your help. So go to kansaspublicradio.org/classics by request, and you can make a request for something you'd like to hear. If I don't play your request the Saturday of the week you make your request, that's because I ran out of room, and that means I will program it the following Saturday. So as long as it's classical, that I am allowed to play. And if you find some interesting classical treasures, for instance, I found the classical, well, he's more of a rock violinist, but I found a violinist playing a version of Purple Haze that was pretty interesting that I played last week, and that was a big hit. I welcome unique things like that, too. It is really fun. There is no wrong suggestion in the world of classical music. It is all great. And one more thank you to those of you out there who have been supporting KPR this week. I can't believe it is October 1st. We have just a few more days of our fundraising drive going, and we would so appreciate any help you could give us. So, as you go about the rest of your evening, consider making a donation to KPR at kansaspublicradio.org, and you can even send a shout-out to this show to help keep the music on the airwaves. NPR News up next. I'll be back on KPR.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. We've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune in to Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org, or my new favorite thing to say, tell your smart speakers to get smart and play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics. Dole Fellow Joni Wickham moderates bipartisan consensus building with Kansas State Representatives Laura Williams and Brandon Woodard on October 8th at 4 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Congress finished the day without ending the government shutdown. Republicans were once again unable to get enough Democratic support to pass their short-term spending bill. NPR's Elena Moore reports.
The bill needs at least 60 votes to pass, but the GOP-backed motion has come up short twice, 55 to 45. The divide is largely along party lines, with most Democrats vowing to oppose the measure unless it addresses soon-to-be-expiring Affordable Care Act subsidies. Republicans have rejected that. Some say they're open to discussing that issue, but only after the government reopens. Moving forward, no votes are expected Thursday in observation of Yom Kippur. But Senate Majority Leader John Thune told reporters conversations between lawmakers will continue. Elena Moore, NPR News, the Capitol.
The government shutdown won't touch federal benefits like Medicare and Social Security, but NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports that nutrition assistance for pregnant women and new parents could be hit.
The program WIC helps nearly 7 million people access healthy foods, but the National WIC Association estimates money for it will run out in about 2 weeks. After that, states will have to close the gap if their budgets allow. Lucia Graves in New Hampshire says if WIC benefits for her 4-year-old daughter end, it will be a lot harder to make ends meet.
The prices of milk, the prices of eggs, the price of bread, all of these things are like astronomical. So it would be a huge hit to us.
If the shutdown drags out, the WIC Association says local clinics may have to triage, prioritizing pregnant or breastfeeding women and turning away preschool-aged children. Jennifer Lutton, NPR News, Washington.
The mayor of Memphis says that National Guard troops are not in the city yet. President Trump's federal intervention there will include more than a dozen federal agencies. NPR's Kat Launsdorf reports.
Speaking at a town hall, Mayor Paul Young told residents there's still a lot he doesn't know about the federal operation. He said a number of agencies, including the FBI, DEA, ATF, and U.S. Marshals, are operating in Memphis right now.
The National Guard is not one of them yet. We know that at some point they will come.
Memphis Police Chief C.J. Davis said troops are expected in the next 2 weeks, adding that there are still a lot of unknowns about the deployment.
Everybody wants to know how many National Guard are coming. We don't know.
U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi says 53 people were arrested in the first 48 hours of the operation, which is expected to have a slow rollout and last for weeks, maybe months. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Memphis.
New Mexico lawmakers are pushing to shore up safety net funding in a special legislative session in response to President Trump's spending and tax cuts. The state has one of the highest rates of Medicaid and federal food assistance enrollment. Stocks closed up today. From Washington, this is NPR News. The U.S. military has begun drawing down its mission against the Islamic State in Iraq. American forces will leave some bases where troops have been stationed during a two-decade-long military presence in the country. The drawdown comes just months after the Trump administration withdrew about 600 troops from Syria. The Islamic State still carries out deadly attacks in both countries. A federal bankruptcy judge has rejected an effort by Alex Jones to stop the sale of his InfoWars company. Proceeds will go to families of Sandy Hook school shooting victims who sued and won nearly $1.3 billion after Jones said they were lying about their kids being among those killed. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
In a fiery debate in federal bankruptcy court, Jones's lawyers tried to stop a Texas state court from seizing and selling off InfoWars brand and property. They tried to persuade the bankruptcy judge it should be handled by him, but the judge disagreed, since InfoWars itself is not in bankruptcy. That means a state-appointed receiver can now proceed to put InfoWars up for sale. One of the family's lawyers welcomed the decision, saying, quote, Jones's days of dodging justice are numbered. The satirical news site The Onion has expressed interest in buying InfoWars, but did not respond to a request for comment after this latest ruling. Tovia Smith, NPR News.
Coffee Brown Maxwell House is downsizing to Maxwell Apartment for a limited one-year lease. The company says it's rebranding to meet the needs of consumers in America, where more than a third of people rent their homes instead of owning. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Joyce Foundation, committed to advancing racial equity and economic mobility for the next generation in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. This is NPR.
Alto saxophonist Hank Crawford, the tune Boo's Tune from the debut as a leader by Hank Crawford, recorded in 1960, came out in 1961 on Atlantic Records, called More Soul. Hank Crawford was part of Ray Charles's band at that time. In fact, had been there for several years and was the musical director of the band. And for this album, he brought a lot of the horn section of Ray Charles's band, with David Fathead Newman playing tenor sax, Roy Hogg Cooper on bass sax, and trumpeter Philip Gobo. Edgar Willis played bass, Milt Turner drums. Soulful sounds from Hank Crawford on Jazz in the Night. I'm Bob McWilliams, tenor man Sam Dillon from his new album up next, and we'll have trombonist Steve Davis in about 10-plus minutes, and on the way as well from the Vinyl Vault from the 1957 album Jerry Mulligan Meets Stan Getz, all ahead on KPR. Support for Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio comes from LMH Health's new Cancer Center, offering cancer clinical trials and comprehensive treatment options all under one roof. More information at lmh.org/cancercare.